There's a common bond between sailors all over the world, a common language even. For no matter how far I travel from Malden, to the mangrove-strangled upper reaches of the Crouch, where the dangerously shallow gene pool in the primitive hamlet of Burnham has created a fierce tribe of chinless but alarmingly rosy-cheeked natives, or down south, up the Hamble, which is exactly the same. Indeed, wherever you find sailors in pinks and rugby shirts with upturned collars, I've never ever been able to understand a word anyone has said. And among the most ludicrous things they'll tell you, once you've filtered it through Google Translate from garble to proper Essex, is that, and I quote, the start of the race is critical. You can't win it at the start, but you can lose it. Well, pardon me, but what on earth does that mean? In my book, the finish is just a bit more critical, because that's where you lose it, on account of other people getting there first. Simple, huh? What's more, what they seem to have overlooked is that getting as far as the start, or anywhere within the same hemisphere, is far more testing, especially if you're local. Take the Malden Town Regatta, for example, and in particular, Quilliam Newnham, who towed his 16-foot Winkle brig 503 miles from County Clare in Ireland, to take part and win the PBO Miles to Malden trophy. Well, lucky for him, he didn't keep his boat in Malden, because if he did, he'd find the logistics of getting downriver to the start damn near insurmountable. It's all to do with tides and stuff, which when you've a mud berth in Malden, where you're afloat for 3.5 minutes either side of high water, on springs, it's all a bit critical. I'd consulted the Almaniac, which said it couldn't be done, because it would have involved leaving in the dark, and that would have involved hitting things or being hit, as I don't have any nav lights. I was thoroughly perplexed, so I went to the Queen's Head, where I consulted both of Malden's greatest minds, and ended up even more perplexed and poorer. These sages don't give of their knowledge cheaply. They'd suggested crazy things like going downriver and anchoring overnight in the dark. Madness. In the first place, I regard my anchor as purely decorative. I like to think it gives a nice nautical look to my ensemble. Second, I don't like getting it muddy. And C, I've only got about 3 inches of anchor chain, which is more than enough for a mud berth in Malden, but not much use elsewhere. The other fly in my ointment was my crew, James, who'd been going on all year about how desperately mad keen he was to sail with me in the regatta. And then he booked a holiday in France and was arriving back late the night before the race. If I'd anchored, I'd need my tender to pick him up, and as my tender is bigger than my boat, I felt that towing it through the race would hamper my race pace, unless I sailed the tender and towed the boat. It was a passing thought. The trouble with crew is that you can't be too picky. And I count myself lucky to have James, a long-haired loft insulator fisherman drummer, who I'd hand-picked on account of his very rare and special attributes. In a word, he knows nothing about sailing, so he isn't aware what mortal danger he's in every time he comes out with me. Like most skippers, I'm desperate. So I agreed to sail to Bradmore Marina the day before, where James could hop aboard, eat all my food, drink the boat dry, apart from the bilges, and make a mess. And it still meant we had to leave brutally early to make it out of Bradwell before low water. And still, we hadn't yet made it to the 8:40 start off the Nass Beacon. As the fleet began to jockey for position in the flukiest of light airs, everyone got in my way, and just as the gun went, they all got lucky and caught the only puff of wind there was the whole day, edging away from our flotilla of sorry stragglers. Time passed as I tacked back and forth against the incoming flood, while James smoked cigarettes and created a cloud of thick fog that hung over the cockpit. More time passed, and in relative terms I thought we were doing okay, because there were still a few boats behind us, even though the Nass Beacon was still in front of us. Still we struggled on, and for a fleeting moment I got very, very excited, jubilant even, when I looked behind and couldn't see the Nass Beacon. "That's because it's beside us," James said unhelpfully. Well, at least we were making leeway. To tell you the truth, I'm not sure we ever actually crossed the start, because after a while they removed it altogether when the committee boat marking the line upped anchor and headed back. But it was a sunny, warm, late September day, and once we gave up we had a lovely waft up the river, enjoying the spectacle of spinnakers and tansail smacks and gorgeous classic yachts. That was the prize. It's not about the start or the finish. Of course, James, being a fisherman, which means he has no soul, and very rarely any sole flounder or bass, said, "Thanks, matey, put me down for next year." And that's what it's all about.